Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Fratello Talks. I'm your host, Nacho, and this week I'm joined by my colleagues,
Morgan
and
Dan.
And this week we're going to be discussing the watches worn by celebrities at the Met Gala.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
No, we're actually going to be talking about how to build a watch collection.
No, I think prefer the first subject, actually.
Really? Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay. What was your favorite watch?
No, I was just kidding.
No. Yeah, that's a fascinating topic, but we're actually going to be talking a bit about something a little bit more interesting to us personally, which is different ways to build a watch collection. But before we do that, of course, let's have a little bit of a wrist check. Dan, what's on your wrist today?
Yeah, it's not going to be an original pick today, I guess, as we're recording this on a Speedy Tuesday.
Exactly.
So,
now you call the day of the week the Speedy Tuesday. It's not Tuesday anymore.
Exactly, it's Speedy Tuesday.
Okay.
And that's why we're all wearing it, Speedmaster, I guess. But yes. Mine is the current one. I just looked up the reference and I couldn't remember it. So it's the current one.
The current one. The latest.
I told you to do that in movement. The first place.
Exactly.
It's impossible to remember.
And it has the Hasselblad crystal and I'm wearing it on a pigskin taupe leather strap from Joseph Bonny.
Very nice. That's a great combination.
Looking good.
Morgan, what's on your wrist today? Contractually obliged.
Omega Speedmaster.
Exactly. Oh,
okay.
It's the one just before the one Dan has.
You don't know the reference?
Listen, there's too many dots and too many numbers. I just have a small brain. Okay. I can't recall them.
That's fair enough. It's a lot of numbers.
It's a lot of them.
Where is RJ when we need
it's
him?
It's the 1861 movement, if I...
I think that's right.
If I have it right.
Yes.
So it's the Speedmaster Black Dial. Classic.
Perfect. And I'm wearing a 3750 Speedmaster.
And
from back in the day when references were easy to remember, they were four numbers. I mean, I never remember it, but I remember it today because
you just wanted to be the smart guy, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Someone has to know their reference.
Okay.
And you're both wearing it on a NATO.
Yes.
Yeah, NATO strap. Mine is from the Watches of Espionage. That's why it has the little WOE engraved on the buckle. But it's a really nice strap. It has a little little bit of stitching there on the tail end, which is quite nice.
Actually, yeah.
And just a very comfortable strap. Very easy to wear, and I love the hardware. And it's it's a great strap. Not too expensive, and a good option. Yeah, none of us are wearing it on the bracelet.
No.
That's interesting, because we all have the bracelet, right?
Listen, if you don't want your bracelet, then I can have it.
No, actually, it's getting warmer, and my bracelet is a bit too small for this weather.
Okay.
So,
does yours have the micro-adjust?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't. So it's really one of the early released new ones.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Unfortunately. Okay. Oh, although the micro-adjust on new one is just as little as... on mine,
right,
which is
right.
Very little space actually,
right,
or very little room to maneuver. So
okay, but so then let's then jump into the topic. We're all wearing Speedies. It's a Tuesday, contractual obligation here at Fratello, of course. But how do we start collecting watches, or how do we build a watch collection? Have we built watch collections ourselves? Do we consider ourselves watch collectors?
Well, as soon as you have two watches, at least you have a collection.
I suppose so. I suppose you could have a one watch collection.
Yeah, true.
But let's each go. Let's kind of go around the table and talk about our sort of approaches, if we have even had an approach to building a watch collection. Starting with you, Morgan. What was your sort of, did you go into it with a methodology in mind? Have you developed one as you've developed your sort of collecting habit? Or has it just been freestyle all the way?
No, but the thing is, I think when you start collecting watches, I mean, personally for me, I didn't know it was going to be like a collection. I wanted like a nice watch. I knew I've liked watches and I wanted to buy a nice watch, but when you drop 3-4K or even more or less, depending. You don't want to drop the same amount of money the next month. In the first place, I thought I would buy one watch and be done with it.
Okay, interesting.
So I wanted a watch that could handle pretty much everything. Like, so that's why I went with the dive watch in the first place.
Right. That was your Tudor Black Bay.
Yeah, 41? It was a Tudor Black Bay 41 Burgundy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Very nice.
Yeah,
smiley dial?
Not the smiley dial. The first in-house movement.
Okay.
So I really loved that watch.
Did you buy it new?
Yeah. And I thought it was going to be my only watch. So I wanted something that could keep up with daily life, actually. And it was a nice one. I ended up selling it. But right now, it was nice. I was happy. And so for me, that's the thing. In the first place, it was just one watch.
Right.
And it evolved by now. Mm-hmm. Now I have maybe a different strategy, and I know more about watches. I know more what I want, and I know what I don't want also.
Right.
And
you like blue watches, right?
I do like blue watches. I do like blue watches. But for me, I would say the strategy is buy what you really want and not something to replace the thing that you would like to get. Like having, if you want a Submariner, for example, don't buy a Tudor Bay. Just save up a little bit more and buy the Submariner, because you're going to be like, this is still not the one I want.
It's better to take longer, not compromise.
That's true, but I have to say, like, I have had a few Tudors as well, and some say that a Tudor is a replacement for a Rolex.
Yeah.
But I have enjoyed those watches. Like, I have enjoyed wearing those watches.
Yeah,
I'm glad I know what it's like to wear those watches, to own those watches.
Sure.
They're great watches to experience. And it's of course it's nice to wait out and save up for something bigger or something you really want, but it's also nice to make steps in your collection journey, I guess.
I think one of the first things to keep in mind is obviously you operate within your budget, right? So depending on your disposable income or savings or whatever, you're going to be either starting at a specific price point, or potentially for some people, you'll be playing in an open field where there's not really any limitations, right? So then you can get whatever you want. For us, mostly it's been sort of easing into it, I would say, like from our experience. So I remember having had watches that were almost placeholder watches, right? I had I think it was a Citizen Eagle 7 from the 70s or something like this. That was a bit of a date just placeholder. It was just a smaller 36, 37 millimeter watch with a Jubilee bracelet on it. And it kind of gave me that sort of same, it filled that same gap in my head at least, but this was back many, many years ago. And you sort of learn from those experiences. So I would say don't avoid those kinds of experiences, but don't spend more than like a certain percentage. Like if you want a date just and you buy a watch that's going to be a placeholder, don't invest more than like 20% of what that watch might cost on that placeholder model, especially if you know that it's a placeholder. Sometimes it's good to learn from those experiences, but then at the same time, if you're really, really sold, maybe it's best to like slow down, save up for it, or go try it on, right?
That's for sure, but thing. I am not really...
But
because I don't have unlimited...
No, of course.
Money or whatever to spend on anything and not on watches, for sure.
Yeah.
I just want us to keep that money and to put it once and for all in a good thing. It's like in daily life, actually.
Sure.
You want to buy something.
Buy once, cry once.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want us to spend to buy a pair of jeans 12 times a year. I prefer getting one pair that will stay forever, or not forever, but for a couple of years. Right. So I'd rather pay
invest
the money.
In quality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Over quantity. Yeah.
And go with the real deal. Fair enough.
I guess it's true, but like if you're buying a placeholder, you could also buy a placeholder that at least holds the value that you paid for it.
If you
buy a watch at a good price and more or less that it's a tryout watch, or it's something replacing something else, or you just want to try a different kind of watch, for example, and you can buy it at a good price, and you know that when you want to get rid of it, you can more or less sell it for the same price.
Yeah, that's okay then.
You're more or less enjoying the watch for free.
Yeah,
and and you can sell it on and buy something else for the money you get for it. So. Yeah, it's true that maybe you shouldn't like invest all your money in a placeholder watch or in a watch in general, I guess. But if in the end you can sell it for a good price, not try out and see what happens?
Do you guys go into buying a watch with that in mind? Do you ever go into the watch thinking, I'm going to buy this now, and then after a couple of years, I'm going to sell it, and by then I'll have enough that with what I save plus what I sell from this, I'll get this? I don't think any of us are really thinking that way. No. And I don't think any of us are serial flippers, but there are people out there, even people that we know, perhaps through social media. I'm thinking of one specific guy called Tom in Sweden, who is a bit of a serial watch flipper. Shout out to the Speedy Shutter on Instagram. He's our sort of beloved watch flipper there. But for us, I don't think that we tend to do that much. I tend to at least personally go into all of my watch purchases thinking, this is something I'm going to have for quite a while.
Yeah.
At least I haven't, at least, or thinking I'm not going to sell this at all.
Yeah, that's true. For me, that's...
Because that almost then justifies exactly the cost, right? These are expensive things. Like if you're going to spend 3,000 euros on a watch, at least that to us is like, that's quite a bit of money. In a way, you kind of hope that you're going to have that for a prolonged period of time. Mm-hmm. It's not, well, here's 3,000 here. And I get that some people allocate money in that sense and then just... flip it and try to have fun with it. And experiencing many different watches is part of the thrill of collecting and building a collection. And it's a good way to sort of iron out what you like and what you don't like. But then at the same time, it becomes a bit of a chore, I find. I prefer to just do that process in my mind and then stick to stuff that I know I'm going to like.
Yeah, but still, sure. I would like to pay like a fair price for a watch.
For sure. For sure.
Like, even though I know that I'm not going to sell it, or I'm not thinking about selling it yet, or you're buying a watch, you still want it to, or you still want to pay the price that is more or less relevant for that watch.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And you don't want to be overpaying, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's for sure.
So, do you guys have a checklist in your mind of like, let's say different complications or different styles of watch that you absolutely want to have in your collection?
Well, I was about to talk about that. For me,
I read your mind.
Yeah, that's true. For me, it's really personal again, but I'd like to have a collection with different complications. But some people will find their way into dive watches, into dress watches, into chronographs only, into pretty much whatever. There's no wrong or right things to do. But for me, I'd like to have like a diver, a chronograph, a field watch, a dress watch, a quartz watch, a GMT watch, like to have like pretty much all the affordable complication kind of, because then you can also have a minute repeater, you can have a moon phase, you can have, and that is going to be a little bit more expensive. But yeah, I'd like to have like a couple of different watches to choose from. Mm-hmm. So you can have different watches for different occasions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then if you like one type more than another, you can add a couple of more watches of that specific kind. But
Would you guys ever consider, because obviously then we think of, I think one of the biggest collectors within our space is obviously RJ, who is a Speedmaster collector. Would you guys ever consider, or have you ever considered collecting one specific reference or one specific style of watch? It wouldn't even have to be something like Speedmasters. It could just be like vintage skin divers or I don't know, racing chronographs or whatever it is, right? Like following one very specific thing, military issued watches, something like that.
This is not my thing.
Now, for now, I'm really enjoying the different kinds of watches in the collection. Yeah. But I do think that there is a specific style of watch that I like to wear, like the Santos, like the Rolex Explorer.
Yeah,
it's a steel
kind of
sports watch that's very comfortable to wear, that you can wear anywhere. And there are more watches like that out there, and some of them I'm not buying because I already have some of those watches in the collection.
Yeah,
and I'd like to diversify the collection a little bit.
Okay,
so I don't know.
Now, a question for both of you guys, because you say you guys like having variety. What would you say is one of the biggest outliers in your collection? Is there an odd man out, an odd watch out in your in your collection?
Not really.
Not for me.
No?
No.
You none at all. No. Like none that you would say, oh, well, yeah, this is like one time that I got a little curious and I went with something a bit crazy. No,
this is only you, man.
It's only me?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, you were saying you like steel sports watches that also have a bracelet, but you know, you have, for example, like the Fratelloris, which is a sports watch, but it's bronze and it has a bright red dial.
True.
So I was thinking, yeah, then maybe that's a little bit of an outlier.
Yeah, it's a bit out there.
I can't remember that you own this one, to be honest.
Yeah.
You don't wear it quite much.
No, I don't wear it that often. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's also the thing of a collection. Like now I have a small collection and mm-hmm. I'm not wearing them all as much as others. Yeah. And
which is also okay. That's part of having
it's fine,
collection.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you're also thinking, yeah, it's sitting there. Could Why? Maybe buy something else for it, but am I going to wear that more than that watch? And what, like that for Fratello's, for example, I bought it before I started working for Fratello, and now I work at Fratello, so...
That's a nice connection.
Kind of nice to have that watch in the collection, and it's not really... Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's like when in the morning, I don't know what to wear. Like, shall I wear this one? Shall I wear this one? I feel like it's because I have too many already.
Yeah,
it, sometimes it's you're like, yeah, I'm going to wear this. And then after half an hour on the wrist, actually, no, I'm going to put something else.
Right.
Oh, I want a swipe bracelet and yada, yada. And I'm like, yeah, if I had one watch, then it's going to be this one and that's it, which is also really nice.
So for you, it would be easier feeling. To just have one that's your go-to instead of like having the variety, which then sometimes choosing, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, because sometimes you're like, I'm going to wear this one. And you're super happy to wear this one. And then you come here at the office and you see someone with a different watch and you're like, I wish I had the same today on the road. Because
there's nothing like, especially when you have it, like there's nothing like not wearing your Speedmaster. And then you're like, oh, damn, I wish I'd worn it.
Yeah, exactly.
You see it on somebody else's wrist and you think,
so
oh, that's
then
nice.
Sometimes I'm like, I maybe have too many watches in the collection and I don't have lot of watches. I mean, compared to RJ, for example.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, there's a difference between collecting watches to like enjoy them, like owning them.
And hoarding them.
And wear those watches. Yeah. Because, for example, RJ, he has, I don't even know how many watches.
Yeah.
For example,
he's also been collecting for quite a while.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know how many Speedmaster he has. But he end up wearing always the same, I don't know, five watches maybe?
Yeah, that's true. That's
always.
True. More or less.
Always
I wonder
same five
if there's,
watches.
I wonder if there's people who truly like that have like massively varied collections that really go through the whole collection, that put in place a rotation or something like that. Because it does feel like people tend to stick to like two or three, maybe five like key pieces from the collection. And then those are like the ones that you're very comfortable wearing. And then every now and then it is nice to have a bit of an outlier. But then again, it's you also start kind of spreading thin and then you find yourself in that position where you have a look at what you have in your watch box and you go, if I sold this one and I sold this one and I sold this one, maybe I could get something that I'm a little bit curious about. But then that leads me to the question. So you guys don't have outliers, but are there any gaps that you see in your collection? Is there anything that you feel for yourself is missing in your collection or something that you would be curious or keen to add to your collections?
First, I have a question for you, Dan.
Ooh.
And then you can answer.
Are you dodging my question?
No, I'm not dodging, but before going into a different subject, I wanted to ask you, do you feel like guilty not wearing, for example, a watch for X amount of time, like the Oris, the Fratello Oris? I don't know how much does that cost, around 2K maybe a little less.
I think it was,
around that price. And do you feel like, I don't really want to wear it, but I feel like I should because it's still 2K that I invest in that thing and it stays in the watch box. Shall I wear it? Like just to, you know, just to feel like, I've spent some money on that. I'm going to wear it.
No, I don't feel guilty.
You open
don't
the
make
box.
Me feel guilty, please.
You open the box and it gives you the puppy eyes. Please.
Exactly. Just think about that next time you will open your watch box.
No, because I for that watch, for example, I also invested in a bracelet later on.
Oh, yeah, true.
And the bronze.
So it's even more than 2K.
So, it's even more than 2K. No, it's still there, and I still enjoy seeing it in the watch box as well. Okay. And
can you imagine if we collected cars? That would be so awful. Yeah. It'd be like, which one do I drive today? I'm glad we're not. That's like a really beyond a first world problem. But my gosh.
So, sorry for
back
a little,
to the question.
Gaps.
Oh, but that's
gaps.
A good point. Sorry.
So maybe I have a white gold Breguet in the collection.
True.
But maybe two-tone or yellow gold. Mm. I don't think rose gold is my thing, but I think yellow gold.
Yellow gold is cool.
It might be the next step. Or
would swipe this one for a yellow gold, you mean?
No, I really like the Breguet.
You would add a yellow gold one to the collection. Yeah. Okay.
And in which space? Would you want it to be something like a sporty yellow gold, as in a sports watch in yellow gold, or would you prefer it to be like a dressier classy type, say a Reverso or a Tank or something like that?
Well, there are these pole routers in yellow gold, for example, something like that. Or like the new yellow gold Day-Date that was released during Watches and Wonders.
The white
dial? Looked very nice with the white dial and the Roman numerals. Hit me up, someone. But yeah, that could be really nice. Mm-hmm. So I've never owned a yellow gold watch. Maybe that's something. And I love minute repeaters, but it's just like the yellow gold watch is kind of out of my league.
You have to go with an aerospace.
Yeah, I
that's
guess.
That's the people's minute repeater.
What about you, Nacho, though?
If I have a gap, I think until recently, yes, I didn't have anything that was really a GMT. I did have the aerospace, which could show you a different time zone on a digital
display.
Screen.
Yeah.
Then recently I picked up this Arkan Ultram, which I really enjoy, and that's actually filled the gap quite nicely. So it's first mechanical GMT. And I have to say, to be honest, it's really... it's brought me peace in my collection. It's really kind of filled a gap that was kind of, it bothered me more than I knew that it did, just not having that complication available, which is such a arguably quite a useful one, or quite a neat one to have to be able to play with. So I don't know. I mean, I
think in your case, you quickly discover a gap you didn't even know of.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Right? Are you ready? I've been looking at vintage skin divers recently, like skin divers from the 60s, like vintage Aquastar there's so many brands, Dugina, tons of different brands, but just in that sort of 37 millimeter skin diver type case. There's so much variety out there, and I kind of like the thought of having this vintage-y type dive watch back from when people were really wearing these things. Like, I don't know, that could be something, but again, that's more of like where my Google searches are heading these days rather than something that I'm really planning on taking action for. What about you, Morgan?
So first, I tend to try not to look for a watch instead of I'm really like decided and I have the money to buy it, because otherwise I'm going to create myself new needs that I don't need actually.
Right,
new, like
right.
I absolutely need that, and I'm going to find myself...
stressing.
No, not stressing, but I'm going to find myself all the reasons to buy that watch.
Right.
Like the White Dial Speedmaster, for example.
Okay.
I do like this one a lot.
Interesting.
But other than that, I think in my collection now, I also miss a GMT. I would like to get one.
And you would like to, I think, probably potentially even bring back one that was already there.
That's been an option since I sold it.
Yeah. The Rolex 16570.
It's an option
for those,
but I'm also looking at different things in the way you were saying it earlier, like to experience different watches and not only the same. Because that's also true, that if you try different things, maybe you're going to find yourself liking something more than you thought you would.
Could be.
But GMT for me is lacking in a collection.
Maybe you should buy yourself a dress watch.
I was when I picked up the FXZ, before picking up the FXZ, I was looking into also dress watches from Grand Seiko, for example, and maybe not Cartier, but Grand Seiko. And in the end, I think I'm not ready yet
for a dress watch.
Yeah, I'm not ready to buy and wear a dress watch.
Yeah.
It's just not for me now. Maybe tomorrow it will change, but for now, no. Yeah.
But I think that's a good thing as well. I think being aware that okay, I'm not stressed about having to experience everything. I mean, people, it feels like now we collect watches like people collect baseball cards, right? You're buying a pack every week and you're opening it to see what you get. And it's, you either like it or you don't, and then you flip it if you don't. It's a bit like we're running it at 8x speed, right?
Yeah.
Like you sat on the remote and everything suddenly shoots across the screen.
But
in a way, it's nice to also acknowledge that concept of hey, maybe in 10 years I'll get into something totally different, right?
But
and then we'll
also
see a Morgan who's wearing stone dialed Piagets crocodile bands.
But
right?
The thing is, it's funny, I think Dan, you already told me that, but every time I get asked what is your favorite release of the year, or what is your favorite watches from that or that show, it's always a dress watch.
Yeah.
Okay. It's always, these are the watches I enjoy looking at, shooting the most.
Right.
Like when I have a Breguet open, like Tourbillon and everything, like, I enjoy shooting those watches so much, but I don't see myself wearing them.
Like a complicated, like a Hauterology sort of complicated watch.
Yeah, exactly. Like from Breguet, from even from Chopard, all those LUC watches, I really love them. And from the front and also the back, the movement also is usually really nice. But in the end, these are not watches I see myself wearing, but these are the watches I enjoy looking at and I enjoy the most.
Yeah. Right.
That's
for you, it's sports watches for now.
Yeah, yeah, for now, yeah.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I feel a little bit the same, but of course, having come up through buying vintage watches rather cheap on eBay and and all the other adjacent sites, it's a story that people know about already. I kind of did go through the. I remember one, at the very beginning, right? And this is like also maybe advice. I don't know if it's good advice or bad advice, but it's advice. So take it or leave it. But it's like when I was a student, I would. Started out very curious with vintage watches and got myself a little hand-winding three-hander sort of dress watch from the 70s. I thought it was from the 50s, but it's from the 70s. And then I thought, oh, okay, cool. Now I need a watch from the 50s. Now I need a watch from the 40s. Now I need a watch from the 80s. And I kind of wanted to tick off the decades in that way. And so while I was looking for watches, because you see so much, especially when looking at under 100 euro very affordable vintage pieces, at least back then. That was one way to kind of like tame my interest and try and direct it in a specific way. So for a little while, that's how I did it. Or by shape. I remember at one point I bought a square dress watch just because it was a different shape, and then aiming towards a chronograph, which were obviously a little bit more expensive. So in some way, I don't think that there's very many wrong ways of going about watch collecting, as long as you go with what you like and you perhaps give yourself some sort of structure. But then you just have to decide whether you want to go quantity or... or quality, right? Like that's kind of the thing.
But I think the main tip for you guys listening is don't buy the hype, buy what you like and what makes you smile. Don't buy a watch because, it's going to make a lot of like on Instagram. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
This is your money. And if you don't like wearing that watch, but you only want to show off that you own that watch, I don't think that's going to make you happy more than that. I'd say... buy what you like. If it's a 100 euro watch, Casio G-Shocks, well, that's fine. There's no wrong way to collect watches. And if you can afford like a Patek Philippe World Timer, whatever, that's also fine. I mean, just buy what you like and what suits your style, what suits your lifestyle, what you... Yeah. I mean, all of us in the office, we are different. Nacho and I are probably more leaning towards sport watches. Dan is in the middle, I'd say, because he has sport watches and also dressy watches.
Yeah.
For example, RJ, he doesn't give a shit about dive watches. He's not going to go into the water anyway. So for him, like the Speedmaster or more dressier pieces are also nice. Yeah.
But he does have the
Plow Prop.
It's a holiday watch, he says.
That's the holiday watch. It's also just because of the design. Sometimes you see something so different that you can't help but be a little curious about
it. And also, the thing is, the collection that suits you today will probably not suit you tomorrow. Let's say, for example, RJ again started with steel watches. And now when he wears a steel watch, I'm like, this is weird.
He's turning everything
because
into
now
gold.
He's the gold guy, you know, he's wearing everything gold.
But you don't have to be one guy. That would So this let's do a word of advice from you, Dan. But before that, I'll give you a few seconds. I'll fill the air a little bit while you think about it. But my word of advice would actually be slow down. Like take it easy. Allow yourself to learn. Look a lot more than you buy, and then you really sort of make purchases from an informed perspective. It's a little bit what you say, but then also like you don't have to rush, right? I mean, if you have all the money in the world, go ahead and rush and have fun and enjoy it. You're probably not going to get burned that badly. You're not going to lose a lot of money unless you are investing in watches, which I would say don't do that either. But you know, in the end, it's like, take it easy, slow down. You never know what you're going to like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Yeah. But, you know, like realize that there's all the time in the world, even though prices do tend to go up. So, you know, also maybe don't sleep forever, but I would say slow it down. Always slow it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, slow it down is a good one. I'd also say try to try out as many watches as you can.
Yeah.
Not by buying them all, but maybe going to get together meet up with other watch people and try to try out their watches. Because that's the way you find out if you like a watch or not. Put it on your wrist, wear it for an hour or maybe even a week if you can borrow it from a friend. Just try it out and see if you like it. It's the best way to.
Nothing changes your perception of a watch more than seeing it in person and putting it on your wrist.
Exactly,
because sometimes you like it's the one way or the other. Sometimes you love a watch in picture.
Yeah,
and then you see it in real, you're like. Yeah, well, it's not that great. And sometimes it's the other way around. Yeah, you see a watch on the picture, you're like, yeah, that's okay, or this is not really for me. And then you see it in real life, you put it on your wrist and your mind completely shifts.
Absolutely, absolutely. Stay open-minded, slow down, buy what you like, not the hype. I think that's good advice for starting a watch collection. We've looked into some of the ways. And I think that we can wrap up here with a comment of the week. So I have a comment of the week from Mr. Kanji Dude, who says, referring to our episode recorded in Utrecht for the Swatch Group releases, he said, glad to see Certina get some love. I've tried their DS Diver 38 and I loved how solid and well built it felt. I think shout out to Certina. It's a brand that offers some good value, and some other people in the comment section there were saying Omega shoots up in price, but in Swatch Group, within the Swatch Group space, there's a lot of brands offering good value there. Certina, Mido, obviously, you know, Hamilton, Longines. I mean, there's
Tissot,
everything along the way, everything below Omega. There's plenty of stuff there that can be pretty great
for sure
for people to also try out. Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for joining, and thank you for tuning in to listen. As always, leave a comment and make sure to like, subscribe, and tune in next week for another episode of Fratello Talks. See you then.